says who will fast. Says when you hold fast, you don't give up anything. And when you stand fast, you don't give place. The Apostle Paul spoke to this young man. And I want to read a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. To be able to be left at Ephesus by the Apostle Paul, who was his spiritual father, entrusted to this young man this assembly. See, says that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You know, the Apostle Paul, as we know in the book of Galatians, says that God had separated him from his mother's womb to reveal his son in him. What a privilege. To reveal Christ to him. And the Apostle Paul used this young man. Sorry. Give to this young man some things that he was able to hold things for God. Yes. 2 Timothy brings before us the last days. It's not collective faithfulness anymore. It's individual faithfulness in a day of breakdown. That I will be faithful. That you will be faithful. Because my eyes, he's saying to Timothy, Timothy, I see thy tears. I see the battle is raging. His mentor or his father or his spiritual father is incarcerated, is in jail. Waiting for his execution. Waiting there, and the apostle had to encourage this young man and say to him, the fight is not over. And don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, of me, his prisoner. But be thou a partaker of the affliction of the gospel. He says, look at me here where I am for the word of God. And now he has passed on the baton, ready to leave the scene. He has committed to him that he will be able to commit unto faithful men the things that he was taught by the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul closes the book and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous judge should give me, and not only me, but all they that love his appearing. But you know, my heart is, what did Paul commit to Timothy? Indeed, and I would like to turn to just some verses in the book of Ephesians. And very quickly, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. He says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Chapter 2, he says in verse 6, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ, by grace I saved, and had raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in a few words. Whereby, when ye read, ye may understand by knowledge in the mystery of the Christ. What did he say to the apostle, to Timothy? You know, it's amazing. For me, as a young man, I heard about Dr. Patterson. I heard about Brother Norman Anderson. I heard about Mr. Westcott. All of these men I heard in the meeting. I knew Norman Anderson personally. I knew Percy Pickerson personally. I knew, indeed, Dr. Patterson. These men, when I was young, I traveled with them. And one of the things I asked Brother Norman Anderson, I said, every place you go, all you talk is about Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, brother, I could talk about Moses. I could speak about Joshua. But you know the thing that excites the saints is Christ. It's Christ. When you present him. The Apostle Paul presented Christ to this young man. He occupied him with Christ. He had him filled with Christ. And indeed, he was going off the scene. But Christ remains. Indeed, all may change. But Jesus never. Glory to his name. Brother Ernie Brown, at Castle Welland, years ago, said to me, there was a brother called H.J. Vine amongst the brethren. And I read his writings, brethren. Yes, I like the old brethren. Okay? Some have gone on, but I still like the writings. H.J. Vine, I tried to read everything he has. And what he said to me, one day, a brother said, what will we do without H.J. Vine? 2 weeks after that, the Lord took him home. Hey, great men we have amongst us who have taught us the word. But God wants to remember. And I tell you, this is Vera's words now. Vera, who's sitting over there. She says, God bury his workmen, but he carry on his work. That was Vera's quote. That's not mine. But the verses that I've read, I think the Apostle Paul took Timothy and centered him on Christ. He set Christ before him. The glory of his grace, the riches of his grace, the exceeding riches of his grace, and this dispensation of grace in which we have been brought. Saints, it's glorious, you know. It's wonderful. It's one thing, indeed, for you to give me ice cream. And then another thing is the taste. The Apostle Paul not only gave him, indeed, the cream, but the cream was the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, Timothy, I want you to know the road is tough. The going is rough. But I tell you this, the end, I tell you, is glorious. He said to him, he says, now I want you to know about the glory of his grace. Saints, this is God's thoughts for us. Indeed, I want to enter into God's thoughts. He wants Timothy to enter into God's thoughts for us, not my thoughts for myself and how you and I think of ourselves. But God, he says, do you know, indeed, Timothy, God, indeed, has marked you off for blessing. It was said by Brother Greg. Indeed, election secures the person. Indeed, predestination secures the blessing. And the first time I heard it, thank the Lord. He says, foreknowledge, indeed, God, as it were, brings this into blessing because he knows all these things before it happened. So saints, when you think of this, that God has chosen us for sonship, to be like that man, who indeed, to be like his son. Indeed, this one who walked here, demonstrated sonship. And yeah, indeed, who God says, no, I want you to be like him. He is the son. But God says he is the firstborn amongst many brethren. Indeed, why? Indeed, we shall be conformed to the image of his son. You could imagine Paul passing that on to Timothy. And say, Timothy, chew upon that. Just meditate upon that. You will be like God's son. I think I'll be real good. You know, last night I told Sister Vera that I almost mentioned her name. Because it says in the same portion, not many nobles are called. And it says, but thank God the Lord has called Vera. That was a little joke between them. Why? Listen, saints. The thing is, it's a place of honor. A place of dignity. A place that I could only understand. If I ask God, please, let me understand sonship. God says, look at my son. Look at where I placed him. Look where he is. He is there for my delight. That's the place. That's the place. And this is what he has passed on to Timothy. Then he says, not that this is for the glory of his grace. Indeed, this is what God says. And again, we will ask the question, Lord, God, why you have done it? He will answer, it's for my delight. It's for my joy. It's for my, indeed, enjoyment that I have done so. But he went on and he says, for the riches of his grace. No, indeed, imagine. In whom, it says, we have forgiveness of sins. As it were, redemption and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's in whom we have it. It's not so much the work. It's the person in whom it is. It is in Christ. Saints, what a blessing. God is saying, yes, the work is great, but the person is greater than the work. And now he conveys this to Timothy and say to Timothy, Timothy, I tell you, listen, this is what I've been feasting upon. This is why I bow in thanksgiving and say, indeed, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. This is what I'm enjoying. So I can enjoy the glory of his grace. I can enjoy the riches of his grace, which has reached me in the work and in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. No. In the glory of his grace is what he has done for us as saints. The riches of his grace is what he has done for us as sinners. When you get to chapter 2, he says, the exceeding riches of his grace, or the surpassing riches of his grace. When you think, here you are dead in trespasses and in sins. Yeah? Which one of us could respond to him? Which one of us could say, indeed, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We are dead. And the man on the road to left Jerusalem, going down to Jericho. He was half dead. He was not half alive. He was going to die. And there he came. Indeed, moved with compassion. Came where he was. Pouring in oil and wine. Indeed, as it were, put him on his beast. Took care of him and brought him to the inn. Saints, to realize the position where we were. Indeed, our position is changed and our condition is changed. And he has not only quickened us and raised us up, but seated us together in heavenly places in him. I tell you, that's the exceeding riches of his grace. Thank God, I would say, by grace are you saved through faith. I said, thank you, Lord. But he says, no, I go further than that. I raised you up. Indeed, I said, thank you. And then after he says, not only raise you up, but you know what I did? I give you the same life that is in my son. And then seated you there, what I would say, I am going to thank him. Exceeding, when you look at it, you say, what a place. Been taken from there. You know, this is true. In the days of slavery in America, and I think I told the brethren this at Castle Wellen, it was when you reach the borders of Canada, you was free. So men used to head for Canada. And one day, this slave got away and he crossed the border. And the master was on his horse coming behind him. And on that side was a white man. And on this side, another white man. And this white man saying, throw him over. Send him back. Send him, please. Send him back. And the other man on the other side said, you are free. You are free and you're coming home with me. The man started to cry. He said, look up. One over there want to bring me back into slavery. And now look at you, you're mocking me. You don't understand what I've gone through over there. The man said, listen here. I want you to come home with me. And the man took him home. The man says, this room is yours. You could sleep on that bed. And you'll eat at my table. The man began to cry. I says, thought he was in a dream. It couldn't be real. Listen, this is what God has done. God has delivered us and brought us in. Should I not hold this? Should I give this up? This is not doctrine. This is affection. This is truth that touches the affections. When you see the work of God indeed on a person in your very life and the place he has brought you, God has not given us a bed. God has not given us a room and set at the table. He has given us the Father's house. We have been brought into the Father's house. Yes. And I'll be brought in there to enjoy the Father's presence, which he has secured for us in the finished work of Christ. Think about the exceeding greatness of his grace. Now, it tells us in chapter 3 about this dispensation of grace. Saints, what a day we have been. What a dispensation in which we are. We have been opening up and speaking about it in the Bible study. Calling God Father. Moses, Abraham, great men. You know, a watchtower person came to me, you see, and said to me that we don't worship Jehovah. I said to her, what's your father's name? She said, Mr. Bass. I said, that's what you call your father? No. What do you call your father? You see, I call my father Daddy. But if I come to him, could I call him Daddy? She said, no. What I will have, Mr. Bass? I said, well, I call God Father because we have a relationship with him. We have been brought into that circle of divine favor. We have been brought into the wealth and favor of God. There we have been brought. In this dispensation, saints, is the glorious time in God's calendar, or God's dealing with men, that we indeed could look into heaven and see there a man at God's right hand. All that man is looking for in this universe, in this fine life, God is saying, man is the crown of my creation. So no matter what they find, I don't know what they will find outside there. But if they find anything, it will be below man. Because God says, I have a man on my throne. But in this dispensation, it is going to come to an end. And saints, it may come to an end tonight. What would we say? Oh God, no. Hold on. No. We will say like in Revelation chapter 22. The Spirit and the Bride say come. Saints, that's why we are waiting. We are waiting for him. We're waiting for him to come. And the Apostle Paul set this before this young man. In chapter 1, Paul said, I know in whom I believed, And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He is an omnipotent Savior. In chapter 2, he presents, if the foundation be destroyed, what? He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, since we have a sure, immovable foundation. In chapter 3, tells us about the infallible word. Indeed, he says, it is profitable for doctrine. And he set it forth. The word of God is still there. And then in the closing chapter, he set before him the hope of the Christian. Saints, it won't be long. Let's hold fast. But let's hold fast with this idea of the glories of his grace. Wow. I shall be like his son. Oh, I tell you. I don't know if I'll maintain my color. But I tell you this. I know in character I will be like Jesus. What a day that will be. It will be a colorful heaven, you know. It will be colorful. Because why? We'll be brought to glory. And we shall see him who loved us and gave himself for us. This he committed to Timothy. Hold it fast. Don't give it up. It won't be long. It's my leg to run the race. And may I run faithfully. For his name's sake. Amen. Amen.